The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natale! God is helping!
We are the wild and pretty guys!
Well, they're both festive, aren't they?
And we are the Festive Foreign Film Fans. Hey, Mark.
How you doing, Bob?
How are you doing? That's the big question. Mark had an injury from the sport of pickleball. Mark, how are we doing?
You know, Bob, I just want to let you know, I want to let all the fans know what I'm doing, sacrificing myself to be here while I'm recuperating. But I'm doing well. Thank you. It was how do you get injured playing a sport that's not supposed to induce injuries?
So, and I'll tell you how. And, you know, as people come to know us, and like I started out saying, the athlete that you are, and this is the interesting thing. So we are playing pickleball, and Mark puts like 150% out there. So I am not kidding. You know, we're playing, and, you know, if a ball kind of goes past me, I will try to get it, but I'm not diving, like, head first to go for the ball. But I've seen this guy, and I am not kidding. There's a day he's running up to the net and literally does a somersault over the net, lands on the other side, and we thought it was, like, for fun. No, he was going for the ball and went entirely over the net. So, Mark, that is how you get a pickleball injury playing a sport that you're not supposed to. So he's going out. The ball is out of bounds. That's the funny thing. Going out of bounds. He's diving for the ball. And all of a sudden he says, I heard something pop. And whenever someone uses that term, you heard something pop, that never means it's not a good thing.
It's not. And it did not feel very well either. But yes, my left calf sort of had that pop in it. And at first I'm like, okay, just walk it off, rub some dirt on it, even though we were indoors. But it just continued to get worse and worse and worse. But I'm doing well. I'm going to play tomorrow, Bob. And, you know, watch out.
And the most important thing, it doesn't interfere with your pickle or your podcasting career. So it's not, you know, you can still show up tonight and be 100%, which is great.
Well, I crawled up the sidewalk to get into my chair, I'm ready.
So we're three in. What do you think so far? How's it going?
I think it's going well. It's been fun.
I especially enjoy the point of the podcast where we put the music on and dance around the studio. That's always fun. But starting off, I was a little nervous. You know, I wasn't sure how this was going to go. We described in the first show, you kind of got sprung on you, and I wasn't sure how it was going to go. But I've been impressed. You know your movies, our spouses, they have weighed in, and my wife is like, "Wow, that Mark, luckily someone's paying attention to the details, because clearly my husband is not."
And, you know, when Sue responded to Mark in details, she just wanted to know which Mark actually did the podcast. Because, again, not one of my top things, unless it is about movies or sports or how to win at pickleball. Other things I don't pay attention to.
Let's talk about tonight's movie.
Let's do it.
Want to watch a Christmas movie?
Christmas movies are our bread and butter.
We eat Chinese food and watch Christmas movies.
I heard it's the best Christmas movie since Home Alone.
Okay, so let's first talk about the actors who are in this film. So this is Ani Tamila, And again, we're putting it out there, Mark, because I know, you know, when we go back and forth, we apologize to the actors, to the listeners, to anyone from any of these countries when we butcher the names. But so we got Ani Temela, who's Petiri. And again, just couldn't be better. But he is in this film, and he's actually the actor playing his father is his real life father, which how great is that? And then you look into it, and three of the principals that we're going to talk about right now all have appeared in other movies together, which is great. And one of them, a 2014 film with Samuel L. Jackson called Big Game, where he is the president of the United States. How about that?
I mean, to get to do a movie with Samuel L. Jackson, I mean, that's got to be on most actors' bucket lists.
Yeah, in Finland.
In Finland.
With guns. How about that?
Always with guns.
And so then his dad is Jorma Tamela, again. His name is Rano in the movie. And yeah, he's the movie son, or he's the movie dad and the real life dad. And then the other one that we wanted to single out is the helicopter pilot and also their good buddy who appears in it. And his name is Rano Jovinen, and he plays Peperinen. And again, he was also in The Big Game. And so the movie, I've talked about the actors. I really haven't said what the name of the movie is. And it is called Rare Exports. Now, I think the two of the films that we talked about in our last two podcasts were not as well known, I don't think. Rare Exports, people have seen. I know that because it is in that kind of odd genre of Christmas horror films. And there is a subculture of people that really enjoy those films, like Black Christmas and so on. So I think that they know about Rare Exports. So some of the people who are listening to us have clearly, we're not maybe introducing them to a new film.
As it started, you know, and weren't sure which direction it was going, but as it evolved, it caught my interest.
Yeah, it really does. And so starts at, we're in Finland. So tonight's country is Finland. And what you love about Finland is one that the people are known as like the happiest people on earth. They're always rated at the high end. And two, there is this argument that Santa Claus is from Finland, you know? So as I think they're going to claim in this movie. And it starts out with an odd, so these young boys have come upon this excavation that's going on near their home. They cut a hole in the fence and they go up and they're watching and they're digging in the excavation. They're digging a giant hole. And you cut to a scene where there is, and I believe he's an American or British American who speaks English. So he speaks English and he is paying for this excavation. And it's unclear what they're digging for, but they have hit sawdust, which he is very enthused about. And so things are going well for the excavation. The boys leave, and the young boy, Petiri, who's the, you know, kind of the hero here, he starts talking about Santa Claus, and the other boy is like, oh, there's no such thing as Santa Claus, and don't you know it's your dad's friend who dresses up, who really kind of causes him some dismay. And he heads home, and he lives with his father, and soon we discover kind of it's he and his father, and there is no mother, and the mother is gone. And I think the mother has died.
The mother died.
Yeah. And so it has some great scenes of the father really trying to make the holiday good for his son, but it's not what he does. You know what I mean? He is a hunter. He traps deer for a living. Not good at baking gingerbread like his wife had done. The one thing it made me think of, my wife, Mary Ellen, always complains about, and it's this Disney effect that she sees in a number of movies, and you see it a lot in Christmas movies also, and Hallmark movies. No, there's a spouse dead, the dead spouse who she's like, typically it's the wife it's that's the gone. Mom. Yeah. You know, so always the undercurrent is finding the new wife. And she's like, so that always upsets her. So here we have this here, but I do love in this film that poor, you know, young Petari is trying to win over his dad, and his dad is trying to relate, the dad and son are trying to relate to each other because there's a gulf there with the mom missing. And that is a beautiful story. That's the undercurrent, I think, of the whole story.
It is about their relationship, yeah, and how it evolves. And yeah, Pietro, I mean, what a great actor. He sold me on who he was.
Exactly. And so he goes home and he starts to research Santa Claus, right? And what he starts to uncover are these images of Santa as more of a, you know, more of what we think of like a Krampus type being, where, you know, mean and whipping kids and taking kids in a bag and taking them away. And so he starts getting a little alarmed about Santa and finds footsteps outside his window and thinks that there's Santa is spying on him and targeting him to come take him. And so he also sets up traps around his house because he gets afraid of Santa. And the movie keeps switching back between the excavation and then what is happening in the little area of the town that they live in. And the father and his friends are hunters. They hunt, and I think it's caribou, it's or caribou. Reindeer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they set up a giant electrified fence, and they drive a herd, typically every year, annually, they drive a giant herd into this electrified fence, and then they, you know, butcher them. He's a butcher, butchers them, and then sell the meat. And so, and this is kind of a big event, and they get everybody together, and so they're going through and they're doing this, and we see two little caribou come over the hill, and I think they're waiting for the rest of the herd, and nobody comes. And so they hop on their snowmobiles, which a lot of great snowmobiling around, and they go, and they find just 100+ deer just killed, slaughtered, yes. And they immediately think that the excavation and the dynamiting at where the construction is going on, that somehow that may have stirred up wolves to come out and kill all the deer. So they are blaming the foreigners who have come in for this event. And also they want their $85,000. So that is they're very clear. That's what they earned from the deer, and they want their $85,000 back. So they get together, all go back up to the location where the excavation is going on. And then later on, they all go up on their snowmobiles to confront this group of workers about the killed deer. Nobody's there. And it's eerie. It's eerie because they're like, where is everybody? So they go back, and it's Christmas Eve.
It is Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve, and that's where the dad tries to make some gingerbread, and then discovers that Petari has put a bear trap in the fireplace, which he nearly gets snapped on, causes a problem. And he also has a pit where it's another way to get deer. You know, he digs out a pit and puts sharpened stakes in it, and then a deer will walk over and fall into it. And or it may be a wolf trap too.
I think it's a wolf trap because he put a pig's head up there.
Yeah, that's right. It's a wolf trap. So wake up Christmas morning, notice that the wolf trap has been activated. So Petari goes outside and goes and looks in and finds that an old man has fallen in and fallen onto the stakes. So now the dad is, oh my gosh, first we lose all our deer, you know, all the money associated with that. Now I have a dead man who's fallen on my wolf trap. So they get him, bring him inside the slaughterhouse, and there's this debate about, are we going to slaughter him up and hide him because, you know, we don't want to get arrested. And the old man, skinny old man, has a long, white, disheveled kind of beard. Wouldn't be what you would describe as your traditional Santa Claus figure. Maybe a really old Father Christmas, maybe. But while they're deciding what to do, then Petari comes to spy on what's happening in the slaughterhouse, and it's clear his presence awakens this old man. He's sniffing. He knows. Now, Petari's not in the house, but he comes alive, so they start to talk to him. In the same vein that Petari has tried to contact his friends in the community, and every kid he's calling, none of them are home. And in fact, there's like hay type figures that are in their beds, and the parents are like, do you know where my child is? And so he's obviously thinking, look, Santa has come, taken all these kids, and now we got this old man who looks like his vision of Santa in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, as he was doing his research about the Santa Claus, he found out that, right, that they can be taken away and put in sacks. And, you know, like you said, they could be the one image of the I think they could put in a cauldron, maybe. So I think he senses, like, wait a minute, something's going on here. My research tells me when the kids go missing, something's wrong.
Something is up. And so he sneaks inside the slaughterhouse. Old man comes alive. They're trying to speak to him as best they can. He is not speaking. But in the process of while they're talking to him, his the walkie-talkie goes off. And on talking the walkie-talkie, they realize that the American is coming to pick up his cargo, and that cargo is Santa Claus. And they're like, ah, we have Santa. We got him. We want our money back. We're going to go meet the American when he lands, and we're going to trade him for. Now, Petari's dad wants $85,000. His buddy's like, I think he's worth a couple million here, but let's go. So they go up to the excavation spot. And while they're there, again, eerie, dark, nobody's around. But then there's this movement, people moving in the trees, and they're trying to determine who it is. The helicopter comes and lands with the American. He gets out. He wants to see his prize. He wants to see Santa. They bring out the old man they found, and he's like, no, that's not Santa. And suddenly they get attacked by a bunch of other old men that kind of look similar to him and aren't wearing any clothes.
That was a turn for me.
Yes. So they're like, what the heck is going on here? They're trying to figure it out. And there is a giant warehouse storage unit that they're like, get inside there. We can, you know, hide from these guys that are attacking the Santa. They go in there. And in fact, the American gets killed. They go in there. And when they're in there, there had been an earlier scene where the sheriff had shown up. And this is when they had discovered the old man in the wolf trap. And he's like, what's going on today? You know, people are having their heater stolen, their hair dryer stolen. So they go in the warehouse, and suddenly there's all the hair dryers there, all the heaters, everything, the ovens they had stolen. And they're all heating up because they're heating up this giant mass, and it's huge. And the only thing you can see sticking out are giant horns. And there's also bags that are moving around and muffled that we quickly realize are the children that were taken. So those other old men are not Santa. they're the helpers, and they look like, you know, the traditional view, I think, of Father Christmas. There's some kind of giant thing with horns that is the Santa that they're trying to melt the out of it so it could come to life. And that's what the American wanted. He wanted to bring this thing back that the Finlanders from way past had captured, frozen in the lake, and buried so that it would be safe. And now they've dug it out. So the young boy, Petari, comes up with the plan. And this is where this is kind of the evolution of him. When he starts out, he's more of the nerdy kid. There's the older boy that his friends with smokes, you know, tells him he's a scaredy cat. You don't believe in, or you believe in Santa, all these things. And he also dressed kind of goofy. He has like the leather pilot helmet and he has the goggles. And so he's kind of seen as goofier, but then with his knowledge, he takes command of the situation and he says, I know what we need to do. You know, they're attacking us because they want the kids. So he decides if we take the kids out, the helpers will follow, stop attacking, and then you guys can decide what to do with Santa. But by the way, there's a huge pile of dynamite sitting over there that they've been using to blow up. So, you know, you got to decide. So they grab all the kids, the helicopter, they pick up the kids, and Petari hangs on the outside while they carry the kids and lead the Santas away. And, you know, you're cheering them on for this moment because this is a, you know, you're like, you know, finally he's getting his due. And what really becomes touching in this film is they set down the kids and the Santas come in the electrified fence, and it appears that Petari has to sacrifice himself. Tell my dad what I did. You know what I mean? He thinks he's going to die and he's willing to do it to save everybody, which that's the moment, right? That's the heartstring moment.
That's the heartstring moment. He's found himself, right? He's the hero. Even his buddy, who was, I guess, maybe loosely a buddy, but, you know, kind of making fun of him.
Yeah.
He's in a sack too.
Yeah.
So
he's scared and crying. Yeah. And, you know, not to reveal everything, but it resolves itself. And it is, in the end, you're like, you know, you're touched by the dad and the son are brought together in this moment, you know, at the end of the film.
It was a very good film, action.
Now I'm curious, and we'll get into our rating, but you know, this is definitely not a traditional Christmas movie. Did it throw you off? Like the science fiction type elements,
I think it just enhanced the story, right? I mean, you're right. There aren't very many holiday horror movies, but I think the element of Christmas, I think, made it special too. Because if you know, going back to the relationship of the dad and the boy, right, absent a mother, they're trying to make this time around the season to be joyful. So I think having Christmas as part of it, I think, helped tell the story.
You should watch to see it all the way to the end.
I totally agree.
It resolves itself really well.
But I think it's good. I think it's a very good film, very well acted, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly you have strong actors in these three, the dad, the friend, and the son. You believe it. You believe him. And you really believe that he was stressed. You really believe, right? He doesn't have the confidence. If his friend makes fun of him, like his dad hands him a gun when they're going out for the initial hunt was, and he's like, "You know how to use that, right?" And so,
and he doesn't.
It's bigger than him.
Yes. You know, it seems like the writer sat down and thought, let's think about, I mean, there are elements where you go back, some of the things that he's researching are actually true.
Right.
You know what I mean? There is this discussion of, you know, Santa with the birch rod beating the kids, and you know what I mean? So he's looking at things that aren't necessarily, we haven't heard about, but this movie really starts to think about, like, let's make Santa the villain. Right. And I know there have been some others that, you know, crazy people that dress like Santa and that, but no, though, this is Santa's the bad guy, and he's clearly the bad guy and historical bad guy. And it's, that's, you just don't see that, you know?
It's not at all. Well, it did tie back to the one that, I guess, the first film we reviewed, the second film we reviewed, where there's an, I think in the, it was the French culture, right? Where there's a bad Santa who goes along with the good Santa and who beats
Pierre Fauttard.
Yes. Fauttard, yes. Yes. And so when
Father Whipper.
Father Whipper, exactly. And so as I was watching this, I thought about Father Whipper, and, you know, and how Father Whipper was out there to get the bad kids. But in this case, all kids were part of the scheme.
And they wanted them. I mean, yeah. They sniffed them. They like got excited. And where I find interesting, like Pierre Fauttard, and we talked about some Krampus, some of the other ones, they're like there's Santa who's good. And then there's the alter ego who's bad. In this one, there's no alter ego. It's him. And he's the bad guy. And not only that, you never see him, but he looks pretty bad. You know what I mean? He's huge, big horns. And so, but you raised it. So we get to our four F's. So the first one, festive. Mark, is this a Christmas movie?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, good Santa, bad Santa. It's Santa and it's Christmas Eve. And it's, you know, it's about, getting ready for the season, and I think there was hope in the season, right? There's what's make Christmas time so special. I mean, the hope here is to survive, but I truly believe this is a Christmas movie.
Now, this is funny because I think our last film, we were the opposite. Now, and I told you, I have the liberal interpretation. This is one of those ones where it has Santa, it's at Christmas time. I'm like... it doesn't mean I don't like it. I don't think it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
And just tell me again, and I think you applied a test, and I thought it was a good one. You said, like, if Christmas was removed from the film, would it be like a different film? Would it not be as good of a film? And, you know, you apply that test, and I would say you're right. I mean, Christmas is central to this, but I still... You know, I want my, and it doesn't mean that you have to have a happy ending.
Right.
I do feel that there have to be some emotional elements. And this one has a good one. It does. It just doesn't get me over that finish line.
But Bob, there's elves. I mean, it's not what you would traditionally think of elves, but the helper.
Naked old man?
Naked old Well, you say it that way. It's not a Christmas movie. No, but I mean, I think it took elements of what you would typically see in a Christmas movie. Again, it's a different way of looking at it, but I'm going to stay with it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and I respect that because I respect that you feel that way. I don't, but you know, the hard part is it does make me feel. I mean, like I said, I love the fact that at the end, you're like, Pitari, now he's won his dad's admiration. The kid is, when duty calls, he stands up and does it. And he is he clearly is a hero, and he's willing to sacrifice himself for everything, for everybody else. I mean, in some respects, he's probably the only good person in the, you know what I mean? That you see greed, you see, and not that the adults are not, but they're like, they live a very rough life out in the wilderness. You know what I mean? It's not, they're not warm and huggy people and all that, but Pitari is kind of the different one there. And he, you know, he rises to the occasion.
Yeah. Which I also thought was interesting because as you think about that land, that culture, those people, that's what you often think about, those happy, you know, very in tuned with nature, very in tuned with themselves and their neighbors. Which this was not that, but I thought that also had a different, that would, I think made me like it. Like I would have expected something more warm and friendly. Exactly. And it's, you know, so sometimes opposites attract.
Well, I haven't thought of it till this point. Is there a woman in there at all? at all. I don't think there's one woman character, and maybe that's what's missing. You know what I mean? Like, where's that warmth? Where's the comfort? It doesn't. It's all a bunch of guys that are working that even in his home, the dad is trying to make it warm, more warm and better, but it's missing. It's cold.
There's a suggestion there's a woman because the one guy complains that his wife's hair dryer was stolen.
Right, exactly.
But we never see
We never see a woman. Nope. Yeah, we never see a woman. So I would say not festive for me, but feeling. I do feel for I love the dad son dynamic. Now, future, would you watch it again?
You know, I want to watch this with someone who hasn't seen it and let them experience it. And we're enticing those who are listening to watch the end because the end is sort of like, oh, the son of a gun. Right. And so, you know, I think it's fun when there's an ending like that where you get to watch, like when you're at first, you have that emotion of like, that's why they call it Rare Exports, you know? So I would watch it again with someone who hasn't seen it.
Yeah. And you hit it right on. That's the enjoyment of it just because it's so different and so unusual. And you want to go, hey, let's pop this one in and watch it. And it's fun and it takes you fun all the way through. And, you know, and we even described, there are points where we want the, rom-com, you know, fun kind of family-oriented movies. And then sometimes you want some action and activity and all that. And this is one of them. It's you're not going to put it on all the time, but there are times where you want to just pop it in and go, this one's a good one. And then Fan, would you recommend somebody to watch it?
I would. I mean, it sounded like you brought up earlier on, which I was not aware of, that this is maybe a more broad-based, semi-popular movie that others have seen. So I'm curious if any of our fans listening, if you've seen it, would love to know what your impressions were of it. But I would recommend it as a Christmas movie to be watched when you're looking for something a little bit different for the holiday season.
Yeah, Christmas is at your house. Must be wild.
Insane.
I'm sure. So I think so. Okay. So we'll take opposite sides on this one, but because you've been such a good sport, I am going to teach you how to say Merry Christmas in Finnish.
Awesome. I'm ready.
I don't know if I am. Hyvää joulua. Hyvää joulua, Mark.
Hyvää joulua.
There you go. Now, I'm not sure if we heard that at all in the movie. But I'm not sure they're experiencing that merry of a Christmas. So
there was no Hyvää joulua in that movie.
But and this will get into. Let's talk about some of the fun customs in Finland because, you know, I watch this movie, I read about these customs and say, yeah, that's kind of a place maybe I want to go visit because it sounds really kind of interesting and fun. I mean, so on Saint Nuts Day, which is actually after Christmas, January 13th, they have this Finnish tradition where the young men dress like goats. So they have fur jackets, leather masks, and horns, and they're called Nutti Pukki, and they wander from house to house, and they beg for the leftover Christmas food and the alcoholic beverages that are left over, and they scare the kids. Now, I think years ago it was more of that. Now it's more like the kids kind of do it and the kids dress up and I think they give them candy and things, kind of more like a Halloween kind of thing. But I mean, come on, going around dressed like a goat, banging on your neighbor's doors and demanding their leftover alcohol. Can you think of anything that sounds even more fun?
I mean, I've never had horns on when I've gone to my neighbors checking on their leftover alcohol. But I have gone to their house.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that?
So I think, you know, each one of these shows, we pick up something. I mean, we got the pear for tar Christmas card. And I think from this show, we're going to go, we got to do the goat outfits and just head around our neighborhood and say, come on, give us your leftover alcohol.
So you think about it, we're dressed as goats. We knock on the door, someone opens and we say, can we have your leftover alcohol? So what's their options? Engage us in a conversation or get us off their porch as fast as possible.
They're handing us the alcohol. Exactly. Yes, exactly right. So, and then also, so, you know, each country has their gift bringers. And I love this because it's always interesting. So in Finland, the Finnish word for Santa Claus, literally, it's joulupukki, and it literally means Yule goat. So in the past, it was the joulupukki was kind of portrayed as an evil goat man figure, just like in the movie. See, that's when he's looking back, when Petari's looking at that. Now, of course, it's taken on the more traditional as the Western view of Santa has spread. He's a jolly fat man. But of course, he lives above the Arctic Circle there in Lapland. That's where he's close by. So, and then the third one I wanted to focus on. And again, this is, so as we look around the world and come to understand their customs, I think as we talked about the French and their truce, the confectioner's truce, and how great that would be for Americans to adopt. Here's another one. They say, so every year at noon on Christmas Eve, a Christmas peace is declared in this Finnish city called Turku. So there, it's a tradition that has been uninterrupted from the 1300s. I love all these things. It was like we talked about something from 1570, you know, way before America was even a concept or people. But so 1300s, they read this declaration of Christmas peace. And so it's generally been the same since the 1300s. And now, you know, first it was, so they would just go out and declare it. Then they would broadcast it over the radio. And then it moved on to TV. And now it's live on the internet. They stream. And the one interesting thing is during the Christmas peace, there is now, it doesn't always happen, but if you get, you know, you break a law, you know, get a ticket, they can fine you more because you violated the Christmas peace.
You know, I like that concept as well.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
it's 2X.
It's behave. That's, you know, right. This is the time of the year. If you can't behave yourself, well, we're going to whack you even harder. we're going to sick Santa Claus on you. The one with the big horns.
This calls for some Christmas music.
Yes, this is Christmas music.
What kind of Christmas music is that?
The least you could do is play some Christmas music.
And now back to Christmas music.
So I've introduced you to all of the traditions. Now I want to get into the music, but the one thing I want to ask you before we introduce our song, did you know that Finland was this heavy metal capital? Like, there are a lot of heavy metal bands?
I did not. I sort of pride myself as a little bit of a music person, but no, I did not know that.
And not only did I not know it, but if you would have come to me and said, you know, where are some places where you'd find a lot of heavy metal bands? I don't think Finland would be like in the top 100 on my list.
I would go to Germany immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's where I would go first. But yeah, I would agree.
Finland is a heavy metal capital. And tonight's song is by a heavy metal band. So we'll listen to some and then I'll tell you about it. All right, so Mark, that is the song Tolkun Jalu, and it's by a band called Raskasta Jula. And I love, you know, Jula, you can see that's the Christmas, you know, it's through everything, that term is through everything we're talking about tonight. But so that translate meaning let it be Christmas, that's the Tolkun Jalu, let it be Christmas. But the Raskasta Jula, that means Heavy Christmas in Finnish. And what that, this is a group like it's kind of like We Are the World or Band-Aid. They brought together some of the top heavy metal artists, and they have just traditionally put out these Christmas albums. Just, you know, they're from different bands. They come together, they put out the Christmas albums, and they're really good.
I thought it was very good. It had a nice beat to it.
Well, I could tell you were like headbanging around the studio here. You love that heavy metal style, don't you? What we need is a pit, you know what I mean? Like a mosh pit. Right here. So for when we get into our heavy metal Christmas music.
Don't forget about my injury. Yeah.
All right. So now, our question of the night. Do you incorporate any foreign customs into your Christmas celebration?
Yes. I think it's more about the foods.
Okay.
Right. You know, my wife is, her mom and dad, but well, in Poland and Slovakia. So, we have a strong Polish Slovakian, heritage on her side where, you know, we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve when we started dating and I went to her house. You know, it was interesting because we had Christmas Day. We didn't celebrate anything on Christmas Eve. And so, in their culture, it's when we celebrate and then the foods, right? It's usually a fish, pea soup.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, I think we incorporate what was handed down in her family. Again, from a specific when you celebrate, what's included, both the number of courses as well as the foods. And of course, when the kids were younger, we could always, you know, have a place for Jesus on our, at our table as well.
Oh, that's great. So our foods are traditional American in our celebration. I have tried different foreign things that I've seen over the years, but the one that has remained that is so funny, I think, and because we'll do it now, I think sometimes even at Thanksgiving and other holidays, but it is the crackers, the English crackers.
Oh, yeah.
So at our Christmas dinner, we'll have crackers on each of the plates, and then we'll pull them, snap them, and then we all put the crowns on. And I'll tell you, for the rest of the evening, everybody's sitting around in the crowns. And I think I talked a couple of shows ago when we were in New Zealand for Christmas, they had crackers too. And it was just like normal. You know what I mean? There we are sitting in our crowns. It was fun. So just so you know, this year we're going to start a new tradition. I'm going to try to herd about 100 naked old men into an electrified fence on my lawn. So if you want to come by and see that, we're going to try to put some Finland into our celebration.
Hang on a second. Let me check my calendar. I'm busy.
So Mark, I'd like to leave you at the end of this show with a quote.
Okay.
And I think it's an appropriate quote. And this is by Norman Vincent Peale. And he says that, I truly believe that if we keep telling the Christmas story, singing the Christmas songs, and living the Christmas spirit, we can bring joy and happiness and peace to the world. How about that?
Beautiful.
I like it. And naked old men. Oh, sorry. So if you have any comments, suggestions, if you want to talk about your favorite foreign film and suggest it to us, please contact us. Like I told you, I'm working on the social media. It's going to be set up. But right now, we're just at Festive Fans, all one word, festivefans@AOL.com. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Bob. It was a lot of fun.
Actually, we're done.
Done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. It's over. It's over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.